Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This,
you know, when Sarah and I were first married way back in the olden days, 20 years ago, it was not that hard to prioritize us. You know, we went out and did our things together. You know, we went and we bought a DVD player.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Wow. Those are crazy times.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because the video store just had fewer and fewer VHSs. So we were like, oh, no, we better do this. Yeah, and we would
had,
like.
You had all kinds of disposable income at your behest.
Oh. Yeah. We were dinks, double income, no kids. And it was amazing. And so we would, we got a membership at the video store, which was like unlimited video rentals for. That's how much time we spent together. And then we had kids.
Womp womp.
Lauren, did you, you're nodding. Did you and Eddie have this problem of prioritizing like each other once Trey was born?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Did you find a way to fix it, or are you still kind of working on that, where you find time to prioritize the marriage?
Well, I think we were just entering a phase into when we were able to do that, because our son's old enough and we're just about to have another baby instead.
Yeah, ruined that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a challenge no matter what phase you're in. I mean, Daria, you and Jimmy just moved.
Yeah. We don't have kids, but the general upkeep of the house keeps us plenty busy.
Sure. So with us as well now, Joe and Cindy Farini. How long have you guys been married again?
44 years.
Yeah, but next week.
Wow. Yep.
44 years. Wow. Okay. So have you all ever struggled with prioritizing your marriage?
Oh, never. We're just experts on everything.
Which phase was hardest, do you say?
Which phase?
Yeah. Like which phase of life has been hardest to prioritize your marriage?
This past week. Yeah, I would agree with him. But honestly, I think when you start having children, I think there's a lot of things that can make the marriage like a second priority. But I do think when you have children, your concentration, it has to be on other than yourself. And I was thinking as I was listening to you ask everybody kind of where they were, I was thinking how, you know, it's never one thing that causes you to, you know, sort of have your marriage go stale or not prioritize each other. Anything can make it take a back seat, whether it's busyness in life, just, you know, ministry. It can be work. It can be, you know, it can even be fun. Other fun things can take away the priority of your marriage. For Joe and I would have to say somewhat recently, Joe was very busy with a number of things. And I was busy too, but I felt like I was busy helping him with those things, but not together. And so there came sort of a point, and I said to him, I said, you know what? I just kind of feel like we just need to kind of reevaluate here a little bit, because I feel a little left out. And a friend of mine actually used the word, we were talking about two different things, but she said this, and it made me think of it in regard to marriage. And she said, prioritize me. And I thought, wow, that is true. That is what we all long for. That's why we got married, because we love each other. We want each other to be a priority. And so Joe and I had just a really good talk about some things. We put some things on the calendar to make sure that, you know, we were prioritizing each other, and we made it intentional. And I think that's, you know, kind of what we have to do. And I will say, sometimes emergencies cause you to, you know, have to take a different priority. Joe just had another little surgery last week, so our whole week was rather quiet. It was, you know, prioritizing him as he got better, and he's doing great. But all of these things in life, it's easy to take a back seat, make our marriage take a back seat, make our spouse take a back seat. And we don't want that busyness to ever get to a point where we aren't intentional about making each other important.
And, you know, when I was first married, I had this idea that once you hit 44 years or maybe 24 years, it'd be like, you don't even have to talk anymore. You have it all figured out. You're running on all cylinders. You're like the old couple at the restaurant who just looks at each other and doesn't speak. They just know.
They just eat.
That's not true, though.
I don't think that's true. And I want Joe to talk about intentionality, but I saw this on Facebook, and so I did post it on My Marriage Matters. I just thought it was really good. And it said, successful marriages do consistently what mediocre marriages do occasionally. And I thought that was really important for us to recognize as we talk about this topic of prioritizing each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's such a profound statement. I never saw that statement before, but if I was to identify one of the more significant things that we consistently see in marriages that are struggling, is that reality. Is that, doing those things that need to be done on an everyday basis should be the same as doing those things that we need to do to survive. Eating, sleeping, taking care of ourselves, good hygiene. I mean, that's just things you just don't think twice about. But those are things that we need to be doing in our marriage. And sadly, one of our observations is that most marriages kind of linger in that very crowded sea of mediocrity. And after a while, it just becomes a way of life for them. And they eventually start to identify their lifestyle as saying, well, that's just the way it is around here. That's kind of how we roll. And they're kind of satisfied with that. But I really wonder if they really are satisfied with that.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself. And I mean, all my life, I never wanted to be mediocre. You know, I always, and when I would notice that something wasn't right, even the very, very minor little things, and my wife would bring that to my attention as well, by the way. When things are starting to slip and slide around here, I needed to kind of do a reassessment of my schedule and kind of review my priorities and correct whatever needed to be done. And that's what Cindy was referencing earlier, is that it's easy to get kind of caught up in the craziness of a crazy lifestyle and crazy schedule. And we just can never put to the side our spouse. That always has to be a priority. And it always has to be on our radar. And you know, if we see things slipping through the cracks, we have to kind of step up and fill those cracks. There will be times we're going to be out of balance and we'll lose sight about those priorities. But it's a very subtle process, but it happens occasionally. But you just don't want to make it that a habit.
Sure. You know what, Brian, too, just what Joe just said about being a balance, you know, a balance when you're weighing, if you're in a science class, if you're weighing things, it takes a little while for that balance to settle and be perfectly balanced. I don't think our marriages will ever be, or life will ever be perfectly balanced, but the idea is not to have it so lopsided that there is no balance to it. So when you see that it's getting lopsided, you need to put something on the other side to get it to be more balanced. And then that's where the couple, each one of us individually as married couples, will have to look and do that reappraisal and say, hey, wait a minute, why is it so lopsided? And then, yeah, you know, get back in the right place.
You know, earlier, Cindy, you mentioned you had a friend who would just verbalize to their spouse, you know, boy, I need you, because I'm feeling something different here. I need you to prioritize me. And I could just picture somebody saying, wow, I don't want to have to ask for it. He should just know that I should be prioritized. And if I ask for it, it takes away the impact of it.
Good.
Well, you know, there's truth to that. But I also think if we just don't do anything about it, then there's a different kind of impact. And then we have troubles in our marriage. And so I think the important part of that is, how are we asking for it? You know, are we screaming? Are we yelling? Are we, you know, stamping out of the house? Or are we sitting down and saying, hey, you know what? We need to kind of reevaluate here. And it's not just you, it's both of us.
Yeah. So how can we even begin the process of actually prioritizing? Because that's an abstract concept. One person might mean time together, another person might mean focus, or like, I don't know what.
Good. Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I have to tell you, I mean, your last episode that you did just before we came on your show was a perfect segue, a lead into what we really are talking about here. I mean, intentionality, you know, doesn't come natural. I mean, I'm a natural introvert, and so I have had to learn things over the years to make me, you know, a better communicator, to make me more of a caring person, so on. But the key focus, I think, in light of your episode that you just had on there, that I would want to focus in on and address your existing question here is compassion. I mean, I have met very few people, very sadly. I don't know too many people who are just naturally compassionate people. And the Apostle Paul, he knew that. And that's why he said in Colossians 3:12, he says, put on a heart of compassion, put on a heart of kindness and humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And I think the point that Paul is making here to all of us is to understand the importance of the words put on. I mean, when he says put on, he clearly implies that we need to be very proactive to work at this process of putting on a compassionate heart, of putting on kindness. Why does he say that? Well, because it doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
And so we have to be reminded on a regular basis to work on this thing called compassion. And if we would do that on a regular basis, I think all the other things that we can talk about today, better communications, caring for one another, and so on, it would just flow out of a heart of compassion, flow out of a heart of kindness.
Yeah, and if I could add, too, I think, excuse me, some people might say, well, what is compassion? What does compassion look like?
Yeah.
Well, let's take sort of a step here. So if you pity somebody, that's just saying, you know, I feel sorry for you. But if you take a step up and you say, I have sympathy for you, then that's I feel for you. Then you take another step up and you have empathy and you say, I feel with you. But when you have compassion, you say, I am here to help. So in our marriage, how are we here to help one another? And I think there's, you know, those are steps that I don't think, for me personally, I don't think about them. Well, I'm step one. I feel sorry for you. I pity you. I just feel like we kind of miss all those marks. But we can now, as listeners listen, and as we even speak these words to ourselves, if we want it to be really compassionate, our marriage to be compassionate to one another, we have to say, I am here to help. So what are we looking for? Joe, you know, just like we have to look for it. We have to put on that ability, if you will, to look for something compassionate. And I think, you know, I would even say when our kids were little and there'd be a big, you know, laundry basket full of food, full of, excuse me, clothing. Yeah. I would say, like, don't you see that? And he would say, no, I really don't see that. But for me, that was compassionate. If he were there to say, you know what, I recognize that you've been doing stuff all day and you didn't get to this laundry, I can help. And so sometimes we do have to point it out to each other, and that's okay. But how do we do that? And, you know, there were times when I would say things like, you really don't see that? You know, like, honestly? And yet, you know, there's a better way to do that, to say, you know, if you wouldn't mind, can you help me with that? So compassion, and it's not just doing things. Compassion can be, how can I help you emotionally? How can I help you physically? How can I help you spiritually? Ask those questions in your marriage.
Yeah. How do you prioritize time together when you're, I don't know, let's just say a parent of a toddler who's pregnant and moving soon? I feel like somebody listening might be one of those people.
Who could that be?
I don't know.
Who could it be?
Well, you know, this is always a struggle, isn't it? And a lot of times, especially as young parents, we find balance in our marriages when we're running from one extreme to the other. And I think when it comes to the priority of putting time together, I think it's just a matter of putting it on your schedule. And that's how intentional you need to be about this thing. I know that what Cindy and I learned early on is that we always had a program, for example, that we would watch during the evening. I mean, we knew that from 8 to 8:30 or 8:30 to 9 or whatever, we were spending time together and as much as possible. We made that a priority. And it's just something that you have to make it a habit to learn to spend time together. It's not an effort in terms of an agony thing. It's something you do, again, it flows out of a compassionate heart to want to just be kind to one another. And so spending time together, I mean, you know, after 44 years of marriage, I'll be honest with you, I mean, I enjoy my time with Cindy more now than I did when we were first married. And I think it's just because of all those years of just, you know, just making her a priority that, you know, I can't think of anyone else I'd rather spend time with than with her. And so it's one of those things. It's, you know, it's one of those things you just cannot forget to do these things. It's sort of like saying I love you. I mean, you have to make that a priority. That doesn't flow out of your mouth naturally. You have to kind of make it a priority to say things like I love you to each other.
And I would add too, you know, time together might look different to different people, but I would say as a couple, you have to determine what is your time together that's most important to you. You know, if your life is real busy, like Joe said, balance usually goes from one extreme to the other. So when you have little children, and Brian, I'm sure you remember this, and you're just going, and you're still in it, and you're going crazy, like you're running kids everywhere, and whether they're little or they're older, you're busy all the time. So what is the other opposite of that for you that would give you that balance? For us, even at this stage of our life, because we're helping a lot with our grandchildren, our other opposite of that extreme is just enjoying a cup of coffee out on our little tiny deck and just enjoying being together, being quiet. We might watch something, you know, like a YouTube something. We might do whatever. We're quiet. We're taking the opposite extreme of whatever we're in right now. Now, that might look different for somebody else, but that time together has to be what you both enjoy. And it can be simple. I think we have to be careful not to make it too difficult, you know.
It's like a commitment that you make as a couple. You make a commitment to each other to make this a priority. And there's no negotiation. This is non-negotiable on this one.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it flows out of your passionate commitment to each other. And being passionately committed to your spouse is an absolute necessity if you're going to achieve long-lasting, nurturing, loving marriage relationship. It's really, I mean, when you think about it, it's very similar to, and same is true regarding our relationship with the Lord. We need to be passionately committed to the Lord Jesus if we're going to see and have a thriving relationship with him. Well, you know what? The same thing is true in our marriage. It just has to be that essential in our relationship, in our lives.
It's 7 o'clock. We've been having a great discussion with our friends Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. And also, again, they spoke with Weekend to Remember from Family Life for 20 years. And Cindy's been doing Pause for Prayer since 1998, longtime friend of the radio station. If folks want to connect with you to learn more about strengthening their marriage and prioritizing it, how can they do that?
We'd love to have them come to My Marriage Matters on Facebook. Today, about 9 o'clock, we'll be showing Joe's Fashion Sense.
And how, I've heard of this. And, legendary.
And I have to say, maybe some marriages out there would like to weigh in and let us know kind of what goes on
in
there.
But she still loves me.
I still love him. But I'm taking the double check next time we walk out the door is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, Kathleen used to always love to share with us that one time Joe came wearing like bright yellow shorts and a bright yellow shirt the same color. Uh-huh. And she was like, Dad, you look like a banana. Turn around and change your clothes.
The beauty is he will take any advice that we give him, and he doesn't have a problem with it. But yeah. we have a lot of good laughs with Joe. Anyway, My Marriage Matters would be where we'd like to have you come find us on Facebook. But if you want to get in touch with us or check out other things, joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com.
Well, thanks both of you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care.